Thank you, Jesus. We just say yes to you tonight. Yeah, just before we're seated, just close your eyes and just say, Jesus, I just say yes. We're going to continually say yes to him throughout this entire journey. Whatever has been going on, just say yes to him tonight. Hallelujah. We just give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, teens, go be amazing. Father, we thank you for Tom and Amanda. I thank you that their tongues are the, just stretch out a hand toward them. Their tongues are the pen of a ready writer, ready to speak life and light, to just ignite revival into this generation. In Jesus' name, I thank you for miracles, signs, wonders. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I love that spontaneous. I just broke out between songs. It's like, wait, what? Where's that coming from? Radicals here, I tell you. Amen. Come on. Come on. He's never called us to just the stale, old, boring, the encounter we had with him 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago, last week, yesterday. He's called us to a fresh, come on, fresh, you know, fresh fire, you know. We had, you know, two bowls of apples. I heard Jeremy Pearson say this, you know, nice organic apples, both bowls, you know, one were just picked today. The other ones were picked 6 months ago. You know, which one would you want? They're both organic, right? But there's something in us that craves freshness, a fresh encounter, a fresh touch from him. We weren't made to just go through the motions. That's not what this is all about. To just go through the motions, to try to get by, to work a set of, you know, 12 steps of this, 7 steps of that, and oh, give it a rest. Give it a rest. Let's just all just throw the hamster wheel in the garbage. Amen. Just get off the hamster wheel and just, you know, have an adventure with him. Have an adventure with him. So we're going to receive communion tonight. We've done that a few times since Pastor John's asked me out. But, you know, in Acts 2:46, it says that they gathered in one accord in the temple courts, and they went from house to house daily breaking bread. Daily breaking bread. You know, I think that two of the things the enemy has gone after big time in the last 2,000 years is praying in tongues and communion, because there's so much power released in both. Communion was never just to be a ritual to be observed, but a blessing to be received, a moment when we can literally be in a posture of receiving wholeness and life from him. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming soon. I believe I'm in the company of a lot of people that believe that. And I believe that the revelation of the communion table is a peace that we are that generation that doesn't go through the grave. Man, if the type, Psalm says that they went out with silver and gold and there was not one feeble one among them. And that was in the Old Testament. They ate roasted lamb and 2.4 million people and there wasn't one feeble one among them? What are we doing here in the New Covenant? Might as well go back there and eat roasted lamb. No way. 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. I know how I grew up. It was the way it was taught was, if you have sin in your life, judge yourself before you partake of communion, or you're calling a judgment on yourself. But see, the thing is that Jesus died for unworthy people. In fact, the only thing that can stand in yours and my way tonight from receiving a fresh breath of his life, a fresh healing tonight, a fresh breakthrough, whatever we're in need of, the only thing that can stand in our way, the only prerequisite, is that we don't have it all together. That's liberating for me. That's cause for rejoicing that we don't have it all together. You know, sometimes we want to, you know, I mean, and just the way of the world is, you know, do good, get good. Come on, hustle. Hustle a little harder. Work a little harder. Wants to make God into this taskmaster. And he was known as God as in the Old Testament, but Jesus came to show us and reveal him as Father. And so, praise the Lord. Oh, the love of God. We know that faith works by love, right? Faith works by love. We know that perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Casts out all fear. My love walks not together. That's why I've got so much fear. No, what that scripture is saying is how much of his love that we're receiving is what causes fear to fall off of us, have no place in our lives. So how do we, you know, God is love. How do I, all right, I get it. You know, love is important. Faith works by love. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, so love is a major component. These three will abide forever, faith, hope, and love forever. And the greatest of among these three is love. But how do I move from a theoretical understanding of the love of God? I understand that Jesus died for the whole world. John 3:16. I get that. All right? For God so loved us that he gave his only son. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but would have life everlasting. All right, I get that. We can memorize, right? But how do we become a partaker? How do we move from a head knowledge understanding to an experiential partaking, participator? You know, if you know, you've got a loved one, it's nice to know all about them, but that doesn't connect you with their love for you or your love for them. I believe that the communion table gives us a broad place where we can receive that love afresh. Not just in a theoretical way, but that we can truly see for ourselves. I know he died for the whole world, but I want to see why he died for me. I want to know why he died for me. You know, we sing the song, I'm saying it forever. I bawled my eyes out to it. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon the cross. Listen, y'all, we are in a day. We are in the shallow waters of this move of God that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is waking up to how much he died for us. Because it is the center. It is the apex. It is the very there of what this whole thing is about. It is the very place where our confidence and our boldness comes from. The enemy would love to get our eyes off of the cross, off of the finished work of the cross. Because the amazing thing is when Jesus said it is finished, it's the perfect tense there, meaning that it's an event that will never have to be repeated and has great impact on circumstances moving forward. Different than when Paul was preaching in the book of Acts and it said, and Paul preached and then he preached later. That is in the imperfect tense. Why is this important? I hate grammar, but it's important because to see that, you know, it's not something where Jesus did it once, but there's more that we need to add to it. Okay, worthy is the Lamb. He did all of that. But now I've got to go through my religious routine in order to hopefully get the blessing that I'm striving for. I'll tell you what, the scariest devil is not the one in Poltergeist, not the one on House, I don't even know what the name of, I was going to say House Hunters, but that's one, that's another show. That show's fine, you can watch that one. Fixer Upper's on a lot at my house. The scariest of all of them is the religious one that wants to sit on our shoulders. When we're in church, yeah, well, you saw what type of week you had, how you lost your cool and you did this and then you got in that argument. And maybe it happened right before you came through the doors out here. Or maybe someone looked at you wrong and you had a really, who does she think she is? And then you get back into worship and the accuser's right there going, how dare you? See, sometimes he'll even sow the thought and then come with the condemnation. He's an evil genius. He wants to accuse and accuse and accuse you and me and constantly try to make us look at ourselves so that we can see where we don't measure up, and that's why God doesn't love us. And that's why we have to keep these things. I believe this is one reason why they went house to house with sincere hearts breaking bread, because they constantly kept it before them what he did. And many of them were alive, if not all of them, they were alive at the crucifixion. Surely they at least had heard about this one that had died and then the grave wasn't there. He wasn't in the grave. Soapbox real quick. There's a song out that says that he robbed the grave. Jesus didn't rob the grave. Jesus did not rob the grave. And Jesus didn't buy us back from the devil. And it wasn't just the mercy of God that redeemed us. He righteously redeemed us by shedding his precious blood that purchased us. You know, at the end of Deuteronomy, I mean, you know, the blessing's kind of short. The curse, way longer. And at the end of it, after everything, I mean, it's like a bad country western song, like you've been kicked and, you know, you've lost everything. After all that, it says that, and then you'll be put up on a slave trade and not even your enemy will buy you. That's how cursed you're going to be. But yet, what did Jesus come and do? He ransomed us. And in the Greek, he ransomed us as a slave on a slave trade. And the accuser wants to come and push against our identity and tell us that we're inferior, we're insignificant. But you know what? We don't determine our value because we didn't buy us. He bought us. And it's up to the one who bought us to determine the value of us. Ladies, you go out and spend, you know, I don't know, going price of a dress or whatever, but, you know, shoes. We'll stick to shoes. That'll be easier. You know, yeah, Uggs. All right, I know something about Uggs. I've bought them for someone. You know, you go out and buy Uggs and they were, I don't know, $125, $150. You know, you spending the money on that says that you value those Uggs for that amount of money. So how much are you and I worth? How much are you and I worth? Come on. It wasn't God's rescue plan to set redemption in line. He knew it was going to happen. But he loved us that much. It says in 1 John 4 that love, that the power of that love is what gives us boldness to stand in the day of judgment. The day of judgment is not in the sweet by and by at the judgment seat of Christ. The day of judgment, because it's the evil day, the judgment, that which is trying to push against you and say, where is your God in this situation? The power of the love of God causes us to be immovable. It's not from us working up some sort of emotional barrier in and of ourselves. It is based, it is founded, it is rooted in his love. That's why when we partake of the body and the blood worthily, revelation light explodes on the inside of us and we begin to see a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And then when this storm wants to come and try to knock you off your rocker, knock you off your, anyways, knock you off of something. Or you hear this situation with a family member or this situation with one of your, you know, one of your loved ones at church, that you can say, no, we're getting out the bread and the wine. Well, that doesn't seem responsible. It seems like we need to do more in and of ourselves. Sure, there might be things that we can help in the natural, but why not start in the supernatural and allow the wisdom of God to work out from there? Oh, the children of Israel. They come through walls of water on either side of them on dry ground. They get to the other side. It's not very much longer. And they're like, we're thirsty. And all there is bitter water here. I mean, you know, God bless Moses. Reality TV show right there, Children of Israel, right? We're thirsty. So Moses looks to the Lord, and the Bible says the Lord showed Moses a tree. And he cast the tree into the bitter waters, and it turned it sweet. It's a picture of the cross. So what bitter waters are you and I facing today that we just need to throw the tree in? Throw the tree in on that thing. And instead of, you know, anybody ever had a problem that kept you up all night and you just thought about it? All right, we all know how to meditate. Now we just need to switch the topic. We all know how to meditate, right? So we just need to switch the topic. But I'm talking about literally, the body and the blood. There's not one problem in the spectrum of human existence that Jesus didn't answer fully through his finished work. Through his finished work. That we can come to a place of rest. I love the root word of Rapha is the word relax. So at the very root on Rapha, we know that Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. He, you know, that Rapha is the word anytime he healed someone in the Old Testament, that word is there, or that he is revealed, that part of him is revealed. At the very center of Rapha is the word for relax. The very center of healing, flowing, is for us to be in a position of being relaxed. Being relaxed. How many times have you, you know, you're dealing with something, physical symptoms, for the lack of a better term, all right, I won't say it. I was going to say suck, but I just said it. Physical symptoms, you know, it's serious. Chronic, whatever it is. I don't care if it's cold or cancer or anything in between. It's not okay. And we can be, you know, it's good and right that we confess the word and we meditate on the word. We get these things in us, but it's a lot harder when you're not feeling good. And sometimes our soul wants to like strive and strain and stress that I just need this breakthrough. And it's amazing, right at the core of Rapha is relax. That we can relax in his presence. And I didn't mean to go in that direction, but I am going to say in the book of Isaiah, it says that with stammering lips and another tongue, won't I speak to this people? And isn't this the rest? And isn't this the refreshing that I had for them, but they would not hear me? That right in the middle, it doesn't matter what situation is going on, just take a step back. And if we would put greater value on praying in other tongues, yeah, but I need to think about this. No, we need to take a step back and let Daddy God be Daddy God. We need to let him be him and allow and sense that refreshing, sense that rest. That passes understanding, that peace that passes understanding. Jesus, he said he was going to leave us two things, his peace and his rest. And most of the body of Christ were running around like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off, trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with stuff like the world. He said, peace and rest. We should probably take him up on it. Being the second person of the Godhead, just anyways. In John 6, Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. They're really dead. And he said, I am the manna that comes down from heaven that men should eat of me and not die. And not die. And not die. Well, Jesus was talking about spiritual. Well, wait a minute. He was just talking about the children of Israel. The fathers, that they were physically dead. So how does he go from talking about physically dead into just spiritually? No way. And in fact, when he says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, the words there, he uses three different Greek words, and one of them is the word to chew. There is no spiritual connotation that could be taken from that. And isn't it interesting, when we come together and partake of matzah, you hear the crunch. Now he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And I understand there's a doctrine in mainline denomination that is incorrect on some things. But at the same time, if Jesus, as Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you, do this to remember me by, then we need to posture ourselves in a place that we're receiving it as such, and not just a routine and not just a symbol. Because what is demonstrated there, what is demonstrated, and it says that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show his what? Death till he comes, not his resurrection. It says you show his death. Was that important? Because the death was where he purchased us. The death was the payment. The death was the payment that answers to the lying symptom that's trying to oppose our bodies and says, no, this has already been taken care of. And the law of double jeopardy says that it can't both exist on Jesus and on us. Come on. 1 Peter 2:24. You know, he himself, he didn't send Gabriel, he didn't send Michael, he himself bore our sins in his body, not his spirit. He bore them in his body on the tree, that we being dead indeed unto sin. And I love how the Amplified says, becoming immune to its penalty and its power, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. I think a lot of times we try to get to the second part of the verse without soaking in the first half of the verse. Because just like the four crazy friends that let their friend down through the rooftop, he was paralyzed. Jesus looked at him and said, son, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk. Evidently, there was something there that Jesus saw, that a sense of sin consciousness would prevent him from receiving his healing. We can never allow the inventory of our performance to stand in the way. Because there was not one person that came to Jesus that he turned away and said, okay, well, get your life right, make up with your wife, and then come back and I'll heal you. There was not one thing that stood in Jesus' way from bringing healing into their lives. And you know, none of them were perfect in their thought life. I'm sure none of them were perfect in their performance, because there was only one perfect man that walked this earth. Ah, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So when we partake, praise the Lord, I just want to make sure I got it. That when we partake, that we don't just, you know, go through the motions of it. That literally, I love the image that Isaiah 53 even starts with in verse 1, where it says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord extended? The arm of the Lord Jesus being extended to the one that believed their report. And what was that report? That he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Well, where did he become a man of sorrows? When he took on our sorrows. That he was pierced through for our rebellion, one translation says. That crown of thorns just wasn't kind of sat up there like we see in passion plays. On the top of the actor playing Jesus, you don't use a crown of thorns unless you're intending to inflict pain. Meaning that that crown had to be tight enough that those thorns would pierce into Jesus' head. Taking all the anxiety and all the stress and all the fear and all of the mental anguish that was due us, took it all on himself. Took it all on himself. Ah, oh, praise the Lord. He was bruised. He was wounded. Let's just read Isaiah 53 and then we'll partake. I just love that. I'm reading out of the King James Version, which doesn't happen as often as it used. But this is actually the Bible that I got from my uncle, Pastor John and Deb, uncle and aunt, Pastor John and Deb, 20 years ago in like 2 months. Yeah. They even inscribe, oh, I won't read it, but there is an inscription on the front. So I had a wild deliverance from a partying life. Long story short, I saw my two best friends possessed. That freaked me out. And the next day, it was the day before St. Patrick's Day in 1999. And I went home the next morning. I was down at UNH. I went home the next morning to my folks' house in Laconia. I looked myself in the mirror. And I'm still under the effects of drugs. And I said, Jer, everything Mom's been saying is real. And I just called out to the Lord. And I started praying in tongues, which I hadn't done since I was like 13. And the presence of God fell on me. And all the effects of the drugs left. And I fell asleep on the couch. And I remember Mom saying something about the name of Jesus. And I was flipping through the Gospels, but I didn't know anything about it. But I just sensed this peace like overwhelm me. And then, so after that, I was like, what is this all about? So I had Mom's Bible. So Mom lost her Bible for 2 months, and then John and Deb bought me one. And it's the same color as my mom's, so there you go. Anyway, sorry for that. So chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, they were looking for the Messiah to come as a king, but his first coming, he's coming as the Lamb. He was born to die. The only child that was born to die. Now when he's coming back, look out, devil. Come on. He has no form of comeliness. All right, desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And those words, sorrows and grief, there are the word koli and makov. And koli is like the root word of the E. coli. It's not good. And so koli meaning sickness, disease. Makov meaning distresses, pain, mental anguish, stuff like that. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. See, they thought that he was being punished by God because of what he had done. But I love how it says there that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. It says, and we won't go there, but it says that he was so deformed on the cross, bearing all of our sins, past, present, future, all the sin of all humanity in his body. Every sickness, every disease upon him, that they couldn't even discern his visage was so marred. I think it said in the King James, visage was so marred. Now all of his bones were exposed. It wasn't just this little whip that it had, you know, pieces of metal and glass. And Pastor John's pastor here, I'm sure you've heard all of this, so all right. But that it wrapped around him, and the word for stripe, the only way it could be in the New Testament, the only it's used singularly. And one of the Bible expositors said that the only way that word could be used is that Jesus' back was so open that there wasn't one ribbon of skin left. That it was so opened up that it was literally one stripe. The links he went to. The links he went to. The links he went to. Oh, praise the Lord. So we're going to remember his death tonight. We're going to do it as family. If y'all want to just get your elements, I guess. Yeah. Or if everyone wants to just come up, that's easy. just as folks are coming. I've been reading a new book on communion, and Benny Johnson, the wife of Pastor Bill Johnson from Bethel, she's a prayer intercessor, and she talks about the Lord really has given her a revelation of communion as far as a weapon in her toolbox when she's praying for people. That, you know, she'll remind herself in the situation that it is finished, no matter what someone's going through, what it might be, a family member or, you know, whoever it is, whether it be a relational issue, a mental issue, a job issue, you know, let's not be so quick to put limits on what he wants to do, because he wants to be good. Amen. He doesn't want to see us going through any sort of hell, because, you know, thank you. Because see, when we get breakthrough, the Bible says that it redounds to the glory of God, that literally God gets glory when we get breakthroughs. We get all the favor, we get all the grace, he gets all the glory. Never will flesh glory in his presence, that we literally become reflectors of his glory, that we get to raise a hallelujah higher. When you hear someone, a testimony about someone getting healed from cancer, that testimony, it literally has seed form to bring that miracle breakthrough into someone else's life. That's why testimonies are so powerful. And so tonight, as we partake, we are testifying to the unseen realm around us, and we're reminding ourselves in every situation that it is finished. It's a time for us to look away from us. Whew. That's nice. You know, because getting stuck between these ears, you know, we can all get wrapped up in the stuff, right? He's a practical Savior. He wants practical breakthrough. A real there, not this smoky, dreamy, just hang on and hope, you know, throw something up against the wall and see if something sticks. No, he's practical. His love is practical. Praise the Lord. That we partake with expectation that this ends now. We don't have to bawl and squall and hope that, you know, maybe. No, he wants us healed and whole and well. He wants us prosperous more than we do. We're just aligning with truth. We just rest. I love what I heard a preacher say. When we rest, he works. When we work, he rests. Let's get out of the way. Just a good goal for this year. Good goal for this week. Let's just on purpose get out of the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the body that was broken for ours. Thank you that your bruising was for our healing. We just remember all that you accomplished for us. You did it for us. And we just rest right now. We just relax. And we look away from our condition. We look away from the situation. And Jesus, we just look in those eyes that are like a flickering flame. Those eyes that are furiously in love with us. Thank you for doing it all for us. If you have a loved one, just someone going through someone, you just lift them up in the atmosphere right now. We just contend together as family. Can we do that? We just contend together as family. It's not one left behind in the name of Jesus. Father, I just lift up my friend's marriage right now. I just lift that situation up to you, Lord. And I just hand it to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. So Jesus, we thank you for the bread. You said your body is the manna that came down from heaven that men should eat of you and not die. Thank you. Jesus, you called healing children's bread. Children's bread. In one of the Gospels, he said, eat your full at the Last Supper. He said, eat your full. So we just do it right now. In Jesus' name, we partake of the body that was broken for us. and we believe and we declare that we are the healed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely whole, completely well. That our bodies are restored to that of young men and young women. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Lord, by your grace, we'll live to be 120 if you were to tarry. In Jesus' name, completely strong, completely well. Our natural forces not abated. Our eyes not dim. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And we receive your body right now in Jesus' name. Someone might say, yeah, but I really sinned against God. Well, that's why there's two elements. The cup answers for that. Because that blood has washed us whiter than snow. That blood ratified the new covenant. A covenant that the Father made with Jesus. They did that so we couldn't mess it up. We become benefactors. We become recipients of this amazing covenant. But it was put in place. It was purposed in their hearts. It was sealed with Jesus' blood. If the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of a heifer could sanctify the purification of the flesh, how much more the blood of Jesus, who without spot offered himself without spot to God. Purge our conscience from dead works. Purge our conscience. Purge our conscience. That means when we miss it, we don't let condemnation in. Condemnation kills. Condemnation's a killer, and it has no place in our lives. And as we partake tonight, we just receive afresh the gift of no condemnation. The gift of no condemnation. Isn't that cool? When that lady got thrown down in the act of adultery, the ones that wanted to accuse her couldn't. And the one who could accuse her wouldn't. And he gave her the gift of no condemnation. He said, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Grace doesn't empower people to sin. Grace empowers people to have an emancipated heart so that they can live out the true identity that Jesus paid for. Y'all, that's what we're waking up to. We're waking up to righteousness. We are waking up to righteousness. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that's washed us whiter than snow. And we declare tonight we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, apart from our works, through faith in your finished work. We celebrate your finished work, and we believe and we receive that outworking into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be blessed with your blessings, not based on our work, but on Jesus' work. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo! Come on. Where we're moving, I'm telling you, there are places in worship that are opening up. That if we'll spend time with him in the secret place, he will murder self-consciousness out of us. That when we get together, it doesn't matter what sound comes out, what expression it is. It won't be a performance-based because there's no power there. But on the other hand, it won't be this solemn, I'm too concerned about what I look like to move. I'm telling you, there is something in this unadulterated, authentic place of expression. I heard Pastor Bill talk about, you know, he's like, I put up with a lot. He's like, you know, I remember the day, you know, the woman dressed like a bride came in with combat boots. I'm like, okay, I get it, bride of Christ. And, you know, then there was the day the guy came in and he's doing backflips all up front. And I didn't want anybody to get hurt, so I looked over at him like, one more. They're in worship, guys. Someone doing backflips. They're just wild out there. He's like, but there was this service. This woman was just being very expressive. And I was about to tell her. And I just stepped forward, and Heidi Baker was there. And she leans over to Bill, and she's like, isn't it wonderful? This woman was set free from 20 years of prostitution. Isn't it wonderful to see her expression of her thanksgiving to Jesus? And Bill said, in that moment, I repented. Oh, you know, we like our tidy little church box. We like our tidy little, and this is how this goes, and this is how this goes. What are they doing in my seat? And, you know, and if this is too long or that, why are we doing that song or anything's out of our tidy little box? You know, we have our own personal little offense party. Speaking for myself. Okay, whatever. I'm sorry. I know you're all blessed and holy. Anyways, but listen. Oh, I'll share one dream that Emily had that she shared it with pastors recently. And we're moving up here. We're super excited, and we never thought we'd be moving back to yay. It's but God, that's right. But God. She had this dream, and out of all of the muck and the mire came all of these addicted ones, and she heard the voice of the Lord all excited, and he said, I'm building my army. And that was her dream. I'm building, and he was excited about it. There's real quick, and I'll lay it and we'll close. There was this pastor who had an open vision of Jesus on a Sunday morning. And the congregation, you know, there were some people that were in it, but a lot of them were standing here on their phones, checked out. And the pastor's seeing Jesus, and he's seeing all of his people, and he's like, get your act together. Jesus is here. Like, and all concerned, he's like, I'm going to get such a rebuke. The Lord Jesus is here. And Jesus was so excited. And he's like, this is my church. This is my church. This is my church. And like giddy, excited about every single person that was on their phone or wasn't, you know, whatever. We gotta get to this place where we go from stop doing church and we're being the church. And that we pick up with his love for the church, because it'll change the monotony of the day-to-day, week-to-week stuff into let's build something. I mean, Home Depot may use it, but they didn't originate it. Let's build something together. Is that Home Depot? One of them. It was all right. Let's build something together. Unity is not community organizing. Unity says, in the midst of our disagreements for this cause, we're going to do this. And it causes such a laser focus on destiny and on cause that, like, all of the disagreements, like, it's all secondary. It's all tertiary. Relationships tear when we allow the disagreement to be exalted above the relationship. But when we take on, you know, this move of God, listen, they'll know it's by our love. Doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on everything. Come on, but let's do this. Because when gift mixes come together, things get activated in our hearts that we couldn't get activated on our own. When generations come together, things get activated that we can't figure out how to do it. Because if we had, you know, if we were doing like the move of God draft, it's kind of my course analogy on a football draft. But, you know, you had a pick of everyone in Laconia, you know, I probably wouldn't pick us, right? You know, if from the natural we could pick, you know, I want this person that can do this, and I want, you know, the best surgeon and the best attorney and this one that would, you know, seems to have all the swagger politically. God doesn't look at that. He looks at the heart, because it's not our resume. He wants our yes. Because it's our yes with the breath of his grace that he gets all the glory and doors get open that we can't figure out. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for tonight. We just give you glory and honor. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for every single person here, every family. Father, we just put the blood of Jesus on Pastor John and Deb, on this whole place, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up every single home right now in Jesus' name. We put the blood of Jesus and we declare that this is the year of harvest. This is the year of breakthrough. Father, I thank you for a move that moves us. That moves us from just the very center of us. And brother, just closing, just during worship, your worship is amazing. And there's just such an authenticity to it. And I really felt like the pleasure of the Father's heart. And like you just have this declarative thing. And maybe you already do this, but really be sensitive to him, because I feel like he's like tuning you in to be able to declare things and release things in the atmosphere that will shift things corporately. That if you sense opposition or you sense depression or whatever, that like the Holy Spirit would tune you into those things to be able to like shift it and release the opposite in the atmosphere. So, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for tonight. We thank you till we come together again, Lord, that we all have sweet, precious sleep. I thank you for strong bodies, strong minds. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a good night.